Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow is the last day of school at the Juneau School District, and high school seniors are graduating on Sunday. Juneau Douglas High School Yara'at Kahle will have its first graduating class since the district consolidated JDHS and Thunder Mountain High School. 280 seniors are expected to walk at the 4 p.m. ceremony, which will be held at the high school auditorium. Yokuski Dakahiri High School will hold its graduation for close to 40 seniors that same day at Zantikahini Gymnasium at 1 p.m. A district spokesperson said the district is working on a streaming option for Juneau Douglas High School's ceremony, which will be posted to its website. A storm is set to hit southeast Alaska this weekend, with strong winds and heavy rain. Andrew Park is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Juneau. He says the storm will hit Friday morning, with winds likely decreasing in the afternoon. But that lull won't last long.
By early Saturday morning, we are confident that there's going to be at least gale force winds down in southern Clarence, with higher winds moving further north, potentially in the Sumner Strait. And given the holiday weekend, we really want to focus on that messaging. Like, yeah, Friday morning is going to be windy. You might see those winds subside, but Saturday morning, we're going to be right back in it.
Park says on Saturday, sustained winds of 35 to 40 miles an hour with strong gusts are expected. He says the storm will be the strongest in southern southeast.
If you're near Heidelberg for Cordova Bay on the west coast of Prince of Wales, you're going to have high winds out there this weekend. If you're in some sheltered bays, yeah, it might not be so bad, but if you poke your head out, especially along our coast or into Dixon Entrance or in Clarence Strait, you're going to see strong winds.
Park says the storm may diminish slightly on Sunday, but it'll pick up again early next week with even heavier rain expected. Property taxes could go up for most Juneau residents. That's if the Juneau Assembly moves forward with a plan to increase the rate it uses to calculate them in the next fiscal year. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, some members want to increase the rate to balance the city's budget without dipping into savings.
The city's budgeting season is wrapping up. Over the last few months, assembly members have been deliberating how the city should best use the money it takes in from its residents. At a finance committee meeting Wednesday night, assembly member Wade Bryson says he thinks some residents aren't exactly pleased with how it's going.
I don't know if anybody's paid attention, but the community is not at the happiest with us right now.
That's at least in part because of a proposal to increase the property tax rate by quite a bit. The current rate is at a historic low. Property taxes help pay for a lot of bread-and-butter city services. Property tax bills are calculated by multiplying the mill rate by a property's value. Essentially, if the mill rate goes up, and property value does too, you're likely going to see a higher property tax bill. And that cost could trickle down to renters too. But lower property taxes mean the city has less money to work with, and the assembly has to decide whether to cut certain services or dip into savings to keep the city government running over the next year. That's what the assembly is facing right now. Throughout the budget cycle, they chose to tack on extra costs to the budget. As City Finance Director Angie Flick explained at the meeting, that means the budget is no longer balanced.
If we just do the math on the items that the assembly has added that are recurring to the budget already, that would require a mill rate of 10.44.
Some assembly members, like Bryson, argued that bumping it up that high would make people even more upset with the assembly than he thinks they already are. He pointed to a new Juneau advocacy group called the Affordable Juneau Coalition, which is currently collecting signatures to cap the property tax rate at 9 mills. If approved, that would cut a sizable chunk of the city's annual revenue.
We raise it tonight while they're gathering signatures to lower our tax rate. We absolutely will be looking with those guys will be victorious. They'll get their signatures. I don't think that we should do anything more to enrage the community.
However, other assembly members like Ella Atkinson advocated for a higher rate because she wants to see the city's budget balanced amid federal uncertainty.
I think that having a budget that we are safe in is most important right now because we really can't predict the future.
After a bit of back and forth, members landed on a mill rate of 10.24, which would split the difference between last year's rate and the rate they need to balance the budget. So for a typical $500,000 home in Juneau, the annual property tax bill would be roughly $5,000. But that rate means the city needs to dip into its savings. Assemblymember Alicia Huskandes did not like that idea, but reluctantly agreed to move forward with it for now.
That just can't be our budgetary process to hope that we're going to be saved by historically large, you know, reserve fund and hoping things go our way.
The assembly will need to take public testimony on the rate and finalize the budget in June before the fiscal year begins in July. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And the Juneau School District is restructuring one of its specialized education programs. While staff and administrators say the change is desperately needed, some parents are concerned about how it will affect some of the district's most vulnerable students. KTOO's Jamie Deep has more.
Teachers, paraeducators, principals, and parents filled a lecture room during a board meeting at Thunder Mountain Middle School last week. Heavy silences punctuated special education staff's descriptions of dire circumstances.
When all you can do is do your absolute best to make sure nobody dies today, that's a significant problem.
That's Phil Butel, a paraeducator for the Developmental Education Communication Classrooms, or DECC, at Kahtaguhin Elementary School. The class is meant to support students as they develop communication skills. Butel says that's not happening.
We don't have the bandwidth to accomplish our most basic objective because we're more concerned with making sure the kids aren't killing each other or us.
The class has 19 students this year. If the program remains unchanged, that number would jump up to 26 students next fall. Tim Owen is the head teacher for the class at Kahtaguhin. He's been there 2 years, which makes him the longest-serving teacher for the program in recent years. But Owen is resigning at the end of the school year. At the meeting, he said 26 students is too many for one class.
I know 26 doesn't sound like a lot for a general education teacher, but with the kids that we have and the needs that they have, it is impossible.
The increased enrollment prompted the district to work with Owen and other employees to restructure the program. The current program has 4 classes based at 3 elementary schools. Student Services Director Jason DeCamilla says the new program will focus on training to help staff better meet students' needs.
We're not training folks in this really broad, really shallow way. We're going deep and we're going very narrow to ensure that students are getting the exact right people who have the exact right training.
In the restructure, each class will focus on one specific skill set, like communication, social-emotional skills, or navigating different environments. Classes will be placed at a specific school. The proposed class sizes will be smaller, too. The district plans to have no more than 11 students in a given class. But DeCamilla says there are some downsides to the restructuring. Up to 22 students would have to move schools to go to their new program if families want to participate in it.
Students will have to move from one school to another. And so understanding what individual student needs and family needs are related to that transition is going to be a huge key to the work that a lot of the folks on this team are going to have to focus in on.
The district's plan includes working with families over the summer to develop ways to make the transition go smoothly for students. Alyssa Cadiente-Lighty-Blattner has a son in the class at Kahtaguhin. She says parents weren't involved in initial discussions when the district first announced the program.
We are our children's best advocates. We are there with them every day. We live this life with them. And so I wish there had been more parent involvement.
After learning more about the program, Cadiente-Lighty-Blattner says she's hopeful about the lower class sizes, but she's still concerned about the district's ability to carry it out.
I know that they do have the best intentions for our children, but it still brings concerns, and this hasn't changed for me, that they have the plan, but they don't have the staff, they don't have the paras, they don't have the logistics.
The district is hiring 2 special education teachers for the current programs, according to job listings on the district's website. DeCamilla said in an email the district is finalizing where to assign existing staff. Owen, who's leaving at the end of the school year, says teachers are reaching out to each student's family to help ease their transitions. He said in an interview with KTOO that in the end, the new program will be good for students.
For the first time in a long time, I'm actually really excited to share this with families, and I feel like they have reason for hope more than they ever have.
The restructuring, which doesn't need board approval, is set to move forward. The district will continue working with families through the summer to help students with the transition if they decide to opt into the program. It's expected to begin in the fall. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And a Haines tribe has launched a new tourism effort that's been in the making for a decade. The Chilkoot Indian Association is banking on the venture for an economic boost, particularly amid federal funding cuts by the Trump administration. And as Avery Elfelt reports for the Alaska Desk, it's also an opportunity to remind visitors of the area's native traditions.
It's Friday night and people are packed into a wood-paneled building that sits on a dock overlooking the Lynn Canal. A local performance group, the Chilkat Dancers, performs a Tlingit song and dance while the crowd looks on. For years, the space sat empty, but now the building has become the center of a sweeping effort by the Chilkoot Indian Association to launch a tourism brand to bring in extra dollars. Harriet Brulette is a tribal administrator. She addressed the crowd at an event marking the launch of the new business venture, which is called Discover Daishu.
I'm just so happy that we have reached this point. I mean, it's taken us 10 years. But I'd like to say thank you, everyone. Thank you for being here to support us in our next step towards sovereignty. Thank you. Good to see.
Daishu is the traditional name of the Hainstown site and has a dual significance. It means both the beginning of the trail and the end of the trail, and a nod to the trade routes that Alaska Natives have used for millennia to transport goods from the coast to the interior, and then the other way around. James Kuchish Hart is the tribal council president.
You know, what a beacon of hope. I feel like we have this opportunity to really grow and create something of our own.
He says Discover Daishu has been in the works for years and has a range of components. The venture includes the dock itself, where a restaurant now sits. It's been used as a port by a private ferry for the last several years, and cruise ships more recently. There's also an outdoor tour business and gear and apparel store, where the tribe started operating this year. But the restaurant called Taste of Daishu is the centerpiece. The menu features locally sourced ingredients and traditional foods. Hart says it's part of a much bigger effort that also aligned with the Chilkoot Indian Association's desire to rely less heavily on the federal government. That's especially the case, he says, given the Trump administration's efforts to drastically downsize the U.S. government, including by making cuts to funding for tribes and Native organizations.
So here we are in a place and in a time where we can start steering our ship and work towards giving ourselves opportunities to live the way we would like to, on our traditional homelands and not have to rely on grants.
Hart says the restaurant's official opening date is still uncertain, but that it won't be long before tourists and locals alike can come to eat. In Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.